Good evening. I'm David Ortiz. It's Monday, November the 26th of 2012. You're watching InfoWars Nightly News, and here's what we have in store for you tonight.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, schools and hospitals give the thumbs up to palm scanners, and a U.S. soldier is arrested for being parked in a parking lot. All that and more coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Welcome back. Well, it seems that InfoWars.com is having a profound impact. Again, InfoWars.com received the top link on DrudgeReport.com. And the article that was highlighted was a California man is jailed for 4 days for recording cops. It features powerful video. The article was written, was posted by Carlos Miller. Let's go to that video.
Hey, am I going to help you?
No, thank you.
I'm sorry?
I said no, thank you.
You got some ID on you?
Yeah, but I'd rather not talk to you.
Okay, that's fine. You have some ID on you?
Can you take the light out of my face, please?
No, I can't, because if you don't give me some ID, you're going to jail.
For what?
Well, I'll talk to you in a second.
Am I under arrest?
Yes, you are.
Hey, what is the deal with that?
You're under arrest.
For what reason?
I just told you. But if you break down, they're not putting ID on your back. If you don't do so, I'll be forced to do it for you.
I'm under arrest for taking a picture of the police?
I don't know. What are you doing? I've asked you several times.
And speaking of the growing police state, we also have additional video of a military veteran who was also allegedly harassed by a police officer in Georgia.
Am I being detained?
Step out for me.
I'm asking, officer, am I being detained?
Sir, if you will step out for me.
Okay.
Lay the camera in the seat, please.
Why?
That's a lawful order I just gave you. Would you please lay the camera in the seat?
Am I being detained?
Would you please lay the camera in the seat?
I'm asking a question.
That's the second time.
All of the orders that he's giving you, sir.
I'm asking you, am I being detained?
All of the orders.
Sir, put the camera in the seat.
I'm asking you, what crime
sir,
like
put the camera in the seat.
Okay, I will do. I'm just asking you, what crime have I committed? I put the camera down?
This time we're locking you up for obstruction of law enforcement.
The police state continues to grow and grow, and if you hold on tight, in a couple of minutes, we will show you video of an encounter I had this past weekend with TSA agents in both Austin and New York City, where quite possibly they wrongfully were, let's just say, giving me a hard time. So stay tuned for that video. Now, in other news, speaking of tyranny, it seems that flu shots are being forced on some workers in Cincinnati. According to an article posted by Melissa Melton today on InfoWars.com, it reads, healthcare workers fired for failing to get flu vaccinations. The article reads, a Cincinnati-based health system has reportedly fired 150 of its over 10,000 employees because they would not get vaccinated against the flu. Citing patient and staff protection, the company sent termination notices to the employees this week just ahead of Thanksgiving. If they agree to get a flu shot, which are offered at no cost by December 3rd, the employees will get to keep their jobs. Oh, how sweet. And later on in the article, it reads that last month, Rhode Island passed the first ever full mandate requiring all healthcare employees, including doctors, nurses, and even temporary workers and medical volunteers, to receive a flu vaccine. Colorado has also passed a similar bill, and in New Jersey, there's a bill in the legislature as well that has been introduced where they're going to make it much more difficult for you to opt out of getting the flu vaccine. So despite the fact that these vaccines rarely, if ever, work, your civil liberties, the civil liberties of many are being violated by the growing nanny state. So we need to keep an eye on the growing nanny state. It's truly a shame. Now, speaking of the growing nanny state and police state and tyranny, it seems that in Pinellas County, Florida, students are using scanners to get their lunches. According to an article posted on USA Today, it reads, at schools in Pinellas County, Florida, students aren't paying for lunch with cash or a card, but with a wave of their hand over a palm scanner. Quote, it's so quick that a child could be standing in line, call mom and say, I forgot my lunch money today. She's by her computer, runs her card, and by the time the child is at the front of the line, it's already recorded, end quote, says Art Dunham, director of food services for Pinellas County Schools. So there you go. Take that, Mark. Get used to it. Now, there's nothing wrong with technology. You can even make the argument that this makes the lives of people easier. The problem is when people don't have an opt-out option and when this is being forced upon them. So there you go. You've got Pinellas County telling kids to take out that hand and, you know, take that, Mark. And this comes on the heels of the San Antonio School District forcing a specific student to take an RFID chip so that they can be tracked around the school like cattle. The young lady is fighting that. I believe it's a legal battle going on right now, so we wish her the best of luck. But a similar situation is going on in San Antonio, Texas as well. So there you go, the growing police state and the growing tracking state. Now, speaking of, at least there's some headway being made, and some of the headway that's being made in the liberty movement is with the legalization of marijuana. According to an article posted by Reason Magazine, it's November 26th, and the Obama administration still has not responded to legal weed in Colorado and Washington. There you go. You've got President Obama throwing you in a cell for doing what he used to do. He can do it, that's okay, but if you do it, we're going to throw you in a cell. And he's not responded to it yet. The United Nations, a spokesperson for the United Nations, is also commenting on this matter, somewhat scolding U.S. officials for allowing two states to legalize marijuana. According to Raymond Yans, who is the president of the International Narcotics Control Board, he says, quote, he has grave concern about the outcome of recent referendums in the United States of America that will allow the non-medical use of cannabis by adults in the states of Colorado and Washington, and in some cities in the states of Michigan and Vermont. He says, quote, legalization of cannabis within these states would send wrong and confusing signals to youth and society in general, giving the false impression that drug abuse might be considered normal and even most disturbingly safe. Such a development could result in the expansion of drug abuse, especially among young people. And we must remember that all young people have a right to be protected, oh how loving, from drug abuse and drug dependency. So there you go. You've got a UN administrative official trying to flex his muscle and saying that he's going to try to scold the United States because the people have spoken and they want marijuana to be legalized. I love it how they always talk about how they're, you know, they're trying to protect us, yet the drug war kills thousands of kids each year. I've done stories where kids are playing hopscotch and they get hit by a bullet and die because of this ridiculous drug war. And about 45% of those who are incarcerated for drugs are incarcerated for marijuana. Also, they keep on talking about protecting the kids, yet some of these kids' fathers and mothers get thrown in jail for 5, 10, 20 years for smoking a puff of marijuana. You know, are the kids' lives better off then when they don't have a parent? I don't think so. So there you go. You've got the United Nations saying, we're mad at you, United States, for trying to legalize marijuana. Now, in other news, it's not all bad news in the liberty movement. We've got some positive news, and that's that the GMO movement, the anti-GMO movement is alive and well. In California, obviously, Prop 37 was voted down, but the residents of Washington State are still fighting. They want GMO labeling to take place. And in 2013, they want a referendum to happen in the state of Washington. They need 100,000 more signatures by the end of December so that they can put this issue on a ballot referendum in 2013. So if you're in the Washington area, go out there, try to help this movement, try to get some signatures by that December 31st deadline. They need to get about 100,000 more signatures so that they can try to get food labeled, GMO food labeled. And it's important to note that in San Juan County in Washington State, they've already banned GMO foods. So that's good to see also that the people of Washington still haven't given up the fight. So if you're watching this newscast, help the folks out in Washington State. And there you go. So we wish the people of Washington State well. And it's now time for our daily quote. And it comes from none other than Marlon Brando. Let me get my Marlon Brando voice going here. Privacy is not something that I'm merely entitled to. It's an absolute prerequisite. Manja. So there you go. That was from Marlon Brando, obviously, talking about the importance of privacy. Obviously, that's a fictional character, but it doesn't matter. The reality is we are all entitled to our privacy. And if you hold on tight, we're going to come back and we're going to show you some very compelling video of a confrontation that I had with TSA agents in both Austin, Texas, and in New York City. And it gets a little bit hairy. So stay tuned for that.
Insider billionaire investors like George Soros and John Paulson have recently made massive moves into gold, purchasing what Bloomberg News described as gold hoards. Soros alone doubled his holdings in a single day. Russia's Vladimir Putin has doubled down on gold, increasing the country's holdings by over 100%. With $1.8 trillion under management, the bond king, Bill Gross, the world's preeminent bond fund manager at PIMCO, has warned investors of the dangers of QE3 and inflation. And what's he betting on? You guessed it, gold. Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Well, welcome back. This past weekend, I had a confrontation with TSA agents both in Austin and in New York City. We're going to go to that videotape. It's about 12 minutes in length in a moment. But let me just kind of walk you through this very quickly. The first clip you're going to see is in Austin. And what you're going to notice, and I'll be speaking over this video as you see it, is that how they don't even know their own rules. You will see that I approach them. And their first reaction is, sir, you can't do that. That's a complete lie. It's completely legal to film them. And you will see that my camera shifts during this brief confrontation. And that's because the TSA agent pushes my camera to the side. We'll go to that quick clip, and then we'll come right back.
Hold on. Yeah, the TSA... It's on their website, you can take.
Completely baffled.
It's highlighted.
What is that? These are the rules on the website? He's literally looking. I handed him a sheet of paper. Here comes Mr. Sunshine. Watch my camera move. He pushed it.
Hey, I'm just a private citizen.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, yeah, fine. You're a public servant.
Right.
Funded by the taxpayers. There's a little on the TSA government website.
Hold on,
I'm traveling. By the way, I'm.
That's fine. You can travel.
Yeah, I know. But you held my hand there for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not trying to cause trouble. It's
That's
just
fine.
This is a government agency. I'm not trying to, you know. And on the website, it says that the public's allowed to film.
Okay.
Because it's funded by taxpayer dollars. We need to, you know. Keeping an eye on the watch, who's watching the watchmen, as the saying says.
And I don't mind.
So let's just stop the video right there. This is me in New York City, the video that you're about to see. And I was coming back, and I said, before I get my bags, let me film the TSA. We're on public property. They're public servants. Now, I had to go from the back. Normally, when you come through the airport, you got to go the front of the TSA through the metal detector. And I came backwards. Since I was landing, I came from the back. So that really took them by surprise. Now, there was a sign that said, do not enter, but I did not see that. My head was down, and I walked up the ramp. I spoke to the TSA agent, and he said, yeah, you can film. So I did that. You will see that all Hades breaks loose simply because I came at them from a different angle. So here we go, New York City, JFK.
Like I said, that's what I'm trying to explain to you. You can take pictures as long as it's not my, on my X-rays and things like that. Because okay. I saw you taking a picture of my X-ray. That's why you're facing over there, so that's where my X-ray is.
Ma'am, just out of curiosity, my name is David. I'm a reporter. I'm actually
this woman
a story
has a compelling story. She'll talk about it in a minute.
InfoWars.
Never
heard of it. Okay. Anyway, I'm just asking. Do you want to? I saw you arguing with one. I'm not trying to instigate anything, but what was your? I'm recording right now.
This guy right here. What was I arguying about?
Yeah. Well, don't point. Don't point. I don't want to put
something in the X-ray showed up in my.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm just a little concerned on what you're filming, sir. Sir,
I'm
no,
filming
you're
her.
Filming the. Can you just display what you were filming, please?
I'm just filming. I'm not shooting screens, and I've got.
Okay, I don't need you to take a picture of me, sir. Okay, I would like to see what you're filming, because if you're filming the process, you're not allowed to do that.
Hold on, I've got the. I'm with a.
Can I see your boarding pass?
I'm done. I just traveled. I came from Texas.
Can I see your board? So what are you doing on the checkpoint?
Because...
Can you step over this way, please?
Sure.
Step over this way, sir, please. Please record. No, I know. Can you call for security for me, please?
Is this today's?
Yes. Yes, the calibrations are done.
Sir, I don't need you recording me. Okay?
This is public property.
This is not.
Yes, it is.
Okay? I don't need you recording me.
And just so you know, I have on the TSA's website, it says that we're allowed to record.
How dare I do that?
Just can you step over that way, please?
Just so you know, this is on the website, the TSA website.
Can you step over that way, please? You're interfering with screening process. Can you step over that way, please? You have no need to be on the check.
Okay,
over
yeah.
This way, please.
I'm not trying to give you a hard time, but...
Yeah, well, you are, because there's no need to record.
Well, here's why. Because TSA, they're public servants paid for by taxpayer dollars. So as long as we're not getting in the way and interfering with what they're doing, we do have the
so
right...
What is your purpose of recording the checkpoint right now?
It's part... Well, I'm actually returning from a flight. I'm about to get my baggage.
Can I have your ID?
No. Why? But I'm coming back from a flight. I'm coming back to New Jersey, and it's part of a national, it's called a TSA Opt Out and Film Campaign. It's a national campaign. Just so you know, I'm not trying to, it's...
Now a cop is going to come very soon and basically...
Just so you know, ma'am, I'm not trying to be like adversarial. TSA is publicly funded, paid for by taxpayer dollars. So it's no problem. And ma'am, very quickly, I mean, we're on public property. What was your situation? I'm not saying that they're...
I was upset because they said that the X-ray machine showed something in the bag, in my daughter's bag, and she said it's probably my yogurt. So he opened up a tied-up lunch plastic bag with our sandwiches, and he took out the yogurt, $3 each, and I was upset that he was going to throw them in the garbage when there are people who don't have any food right here in Far Rockaway. And he said we could go out of security, eat the yogurt, and come back. So I said that's not feasible.
Was the yogurt in your...
It was in a plastic bag inside a backpack, and he said the X-ray showed something. I don't know what it showed. I felt that if my daughter hadn't said it's probably the yogurt, he would not have possibly opened up the grocery bag with the food in it. And I think it's ridiculous for these people to get so out of control that they're throwing away yogurts that was my daughter's lunch.
I understand.
And this kind of thing goes off day after day after day.
Yeah, well, just so you know, that's...
And I saw that you were harassed, too, for no reason.
Yeah, this is... Yes, sir.
Watch.
Turn that off.
Oh, no, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Sir, I'm on public property, sir.
You can't videotape, sir.
Whoa. Sir, I'm a reporter. I'm on public property.
Okay, you
publicly
can't
funded.
I'm asking you to not videotape.
But I'm on public property.
Okay.
I'm on public property, sir. And all we're doing, sir, officer, I'm sorry, officer, all we're doing... Sir, this is perfectly legal. It's on the TSA's website. The public is allowed to do this. And even says on their website right here, we do not prohibit public. Sure, just don't rip it up or anything.
They don't even know their own laws. Huh? Huh? What's this? Yeah, it's called the law.
Roger, canine copy.
Oh.
What's your name, sir?
Why do I have to give that? I'm not withholding it, but why do I have to give that?
No, I'm going to have to do paperwork just that you were here. That's all.
Not to be filmed.
No, because you're public servants. Your salaries come from people, from
our
the public.
We pay taxes just like you do.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And you have a right
so
to...
Out of all respect for your position, we understand. If you want to take photos, yeah, there are guidelines that protect you to take photos. That's fine. But when it comes to a situation of disrupting the screening process...
I never disrupted anything.
What
I was
think
always...
What now when you have supervisors and managers...
I'm being tackled on a public place.
You're not being tackled.
Not tackled.
No one is detaining you. No one is touching you. All I'm saying to you is when it becomes a problem...
It's not a problem.
But who is making that decision, you or us? At this point, it is becoming a problem because we're telling you that it's distracting our checkpoint. So at this time, now is a distraction.
And why is it distracting you if I'm nowhere near it? Why is it distracting you if I'm nowhere near it?
The dialogue is going on right now for you to continue to get as much footage as you can.
No, you're just trying to, I'm just saying, I'm just talking. I'm just trying to talk.
But when are you discontinuing? When is enough enough?
Why? Just out of curiosity. I'm not withholding. I just like to know why.
The same reason. I just need your information. That's all.
For why? I'm not withholding, but why?
Because I need to do a report.
On what? I'm just a guy standing here.
Because they're calling me, so now a report has to be generated for why I got called.
Okay,
here.
I will do it for nothing else out of inconvenience. This is public property.
At one point there was a...
I'm a public servant, right? But I am also a supervisor to the federal government at TSA, right? It is my discretion to sit here and say if you're causing a distraction to the screening process.
But that's your opinion.
It's not an opinion.
You might say that when in fact...
It's your opinion as a traveling passenger to say...
How can I be distracting?
You
hold on, I heard you. How can I be distracting?
To make the call when enough is enough.
Okay.
It's
how
my discretion to say that.
Okay. But how can I be a distraction when I'm 12 feet away?
Because you're standing here.
Yeah.
And you have all this attention around you, which could be a distraction.
Unnecessary. Unnecessary.
So you could be distracting us over here.
I'm filming public servants.
Going over there.
I'm filming public servants. If
so
they flip
know.
Out.
Yeah, but maybe you're part of the threat. I don't know.
Part of the threat.
I don't know you. You're just standing.
Well,
here.
I gave
distracting
it.
Distracting people.
I'm not distracting, sir.
I don't know what you're.
There was one woman who wanted to talk to me. She wanted to talk to me.
Okay.
We're not distracted. Well,
so let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What time is your flight?
What time is my
right
flight?
Now, he's recording everything.
I know he is. I know.
He's got it all.
What time is your flight? What time is your flight?
He knows that. I didn't see it.
Let me tell you something.
No, look at this guy.
You're good up until you pass that sign. Now, these people push an issue. They're not smart enough to know. They push an issue. I can lock you up for discount.
Okay.
Because you're not supposed to be past that.
But technically, and I'm going to let it go, but technically, you can make the argument. You know, it's public property.
I'll tell you what, you'd be making an argument in court.
Right, exactly. You really
okay, you won't
there.
Be making it here. You'd be making it in court.
Exactly.
With some bracelets on. Understand?
It's not worth it. Especially since they have the sign.
I got it.
They have the sign.
And another thing is, been through this already, you can film this all you want. I can still lock you up.
Yeah, you probably could. The question is, I mean, is that fair?
Do you want to push it?
I don't want to push it. You don't have to pull rank. I'm trying
to
just have a Thanksgiving dinner. I'm just talking.
It's like this. Right now, when you pass that, you were breaking the law.
I didn't know that. I really did.
So
I went through over there and I didn't see that. But I actually went through clearance to that guy, and that guy, and I don't mean to throw anyone under the bus, that guy said, you can film as long as...
I don't care about them. They don't work for me. We're the police.
Well, I don't know. No one was around. That's all I can refer to is the TSA guy who said...
I'm referring it to you now.
Okay.
Honestly, shut your joint off.
Okay, I'm not shutting this off right here. I was told I could, but I will go back to pick up my bags.
I'll tell you what. You want to play semantics?
You just told me, he just said I could use my camera out here.
Where were you using the camera? Up there, right?
Yeah, but I didn't know. I was told by a TSA agent I could.
Listen, not knowing doesn't save you.
I mean, there's no entry sign.
That you passed.
No, right there.
that you passed on both sides.
Right, okay. There.
So this. So as you said,
you want to keep this happening?
Go to court or something like that. I mean,
do you really want to push it?
I'm going to walk down to the baggage claim.
Not right now.
I'm not going to walk to the baggage claim.
You really want to push this?
Why are you acting like that?
How am I acting like that?
First of all, it says no entry. It doesn't say if you don't enter. It's illegal.
Stop.
It says no entry.
Stop.
That doesn't
stop.
Say...
Stop the performance. Okay? Stop.
I'm not the one performing, man. I'm ready to go to the baggage claim right now.
You notice where my voice is? Notice I'm not yelling. I'm not screaming.
Yeah, but you're being kind of stern. You're being kind of condescending. I'm ready to go down. I'm going to the baggage claim. I'm ready to go.
I'm being kind of condescending.
All right. Have a nice day.
And listen to what they say about pat downs.
The camera's going to have to go inside.
I'm going to do a pat down, but I don't know. They told me that technically I could film the pat down if I wanted to. I'm going to opt out so I don't go through the machine.
But you won't be able to film the pat down.
I can't film the pat down?
You cannot.
They told me I could. It was on the website. The TSA website.
Not to film. That's a room
you can't?
I get a manager for you. No, the manager. I
can't film the pat down?
I don't believe you can, sir. I will find out for you and make sure. Okay?
All right, yeah.
But can you take your sweatshirt off?
My sweatshirt, no. Yeah, my sweatshirt's going to create a bomb, I guess. So there you go. My sweatshirt's going to create a bomb. You know, they said, I think that one officer said that not knowing the law is not an excuse. Well, if that's the case, officer, you should be locked up because you were arguing with TSA agents. It's just such a joke. These are publicly funded individuals. An airport is a publicly funded location. You have every right in the world to film them as long as you don't film the monitors. The problem is they get you. There are monitors everywhere. So if you move your camera 6 inches to the left, 6 inches to the right, they'll get you that way. But, you know, there you go. You saw some of that video. I was about 30 seconds from getting locked up. They were going to come up with some cockamamie law to arrest me. But there you go. She said you can't even film the pat-downs. So that's pretty amazing. So there you go. And what am I hearing in the earpiece here? Okay. So that's all for right now, and we're going to move over to a segment with Aaron Dykes, where with a gentleman by the name of Mr. Miller. He is going to talk about police brutality. He has a very powerful website where there are many videos that talk about police brutality. We're not saying all officers are bad. Many officers are heroes, but there is a large minority of them that are thugs with badges, and Aaron Dykes is going to talk about that in just a minute.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
We're back on the InfoWars Nightly News. Now, we're going to turn to a guest in just a moment, but to segue into it, I want to bring up this headline. Supreme Court upholds right to film police, even in Illinois. It's an article I wrote for InfoWars.com following the decision by the Supreme Court to uphold the right to free speech, to refuse a plea to ban the taping of police in Illinois in Cook County, where Chicago's located, where they have some of the strictest laws on the books. You remember the case of Michael Allison, where they tried to put the man in prison for life for photographing police. There's no perception of privacy in public. We have a right to film police, and cameras have become a completely peaceful weapon to challenge the system where it's corrupt, where it's not following the Constitution, not upholding our rights. And with that, we turn now to our guest. Aaron Dykes here. It's an age where digital cameras, phone recorders, iPhones are widespread. They're affordable. Everyone has them. And it's put a lot of accountability on police as their actions across the country and across the world are being broadcast in many cases. And we've seen a backlash to that as they try to control, sweep under the rug that eye that is now upon the officials who are supposed to be accountable. And with that in mind, we are joined by Carlos Miller. He's the founder of Photography Is Not a Crime, also known by the acronym PINAC. He himself was arrested filming police, started this blog, and now his latest story about the man arrested in California, jailed 4 days for photographing cops, has gone viral. It was seen on the Drudge Report and many other sites across the web. Thanks for joining us, Carlos.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about this latest case. Daniel Solomon was arrested, jailed 4 days. I understand they've dropped those charges, but it's still ridiculous to have someone arrested just for filming cops when it's well known, it's not against any laws, it's not wiretapping as they've tried to construe in many cases.
Yeah, well, you know, in this case, it was even more, it was a lot worse than we normally get. Because in this case, they knew who he was, even though they claim they did not. They walked up to him, they asked him for identification. And we all know you don't have to produce ID if you're not actually suspected of committing a crime. He was just there recording with his video camera. He was three car lengths behind the actual the traffic stop, and then they didn't even give him a chance to produce ID. And then when they were starting to arrest him, he's like, well, my ID is in my pocket. He's like, we don't need that. We don't need ID. We're going to take you to jail. So it was an obvious case of retaliation. This guy, he has sued the police department before, the Hawthorne Police Department. In 2005, he won a $25,000 settlement for the same thing, for recording them without against their wishes. And they haven't learned a lesson, and he will sue them again. So I imagine he'll win another settlement, and, you know, we'll take it from there. But unfortunately, the taxpayers are the ones who pay, because the cop who arrested him, he'll go on. You know, nothing's going to happen to him, and that's the problem.
Yeah, certainly. And it's obviously retaliation against anyone trying to be a citizen journalist just because they don't want to be held accountable and people see what they're up to. We've seen the same case with the TSA this week during the opt-out and film protest.
I mean, we see this all the time. I've been writing about this for 5.5 years, and it's nonstop. I mean, I'm getting these videos every day, every night. People are sending me these stories, these videos, and it's the same thing. You know, they have their camera, they're recording, the cops don't like it, and the cops make an arrest, or the cops, they threaten to arrest them, or they tell them, I'm going to take your camera as evidence, you know, which is not lawful. And, you know, a lot of people don't know the law, so they might back down, or a lot of times they do know the law. And, you know, in a lot of these cases, in most of these cases, the citizens actually remaining very professional, citing the law, and the cops are the ones who are acting unprofessional and abusing the law. And there's no excuse for that, but, you know, these cops get away with it. They continue, you know, nothing happens. They might get, you know, a warning, if anything, and nothing happens. And meanwhile, the guy goes to jail. In this case, this guy was in jail for 4 days. And he finally bailed himself out for $1,000, and he didn't really have $1,000 laying around. That was a big sacrifice for him. So he won't get that money back for a while. And he finally had to bail out after 4 days for what? For just recording cops, and they knew who he was, and he wasn't in their way. He wasn't interfering. I mean, they had to walk all the way back to him to arrest him. If he was interfering, they would just arrest him right on the spot. But no, he had to walk all the way back. And it was just an obvious case of retaliation. And I'm surprised they did not delete the footage, because now, you know, now they have nothing to say. I mean, you know, their case would drop. Now they're going to face a lawsuit. And, you know, this cop, he should be fired. I mean, that's the least he can do is fire this cop.
And they are abusing the law. It's a misinterpretation in many states of wiretapping laws that are on the books in 12 states where they say if you don't have consent from all parties, it's somehow, you know, listening in illegally without consent. That's a real misconstruing of a law that's meant to protect people from actual spying applied to these public spaces where there's no perception of privacy. But in this case, it was they just threw in and you're obstructing an officer, you know, carrying out his law enforcement duties. And they do that in many of these states. I believe that's what happened also in the Georgia case that was in the news today, where a man was filming a cop during a traffic stop, and he was arrested.
Yeah, they got him for obstruction as well. You know, in a lot of these states, you know, they really can't. They try to come after you with a wiretapping charge or the eavesdropping charge, and they really failed. You know, like today, we had the decision in L.A., I mean, in Illinois, where the Supreme Court decided not to proceed with that. With that case, you know, so they throw it back to the lower courts. Now it's up to a lower court judge to decide whether it's constitutional or is not constitutional. And it's going to go up to, of course, the ACLU has to argue it, and Anita Alvarez, who's their state attorney, she really wants this, you know, she really insists that this law is constitutional, which is stupid because in all the other states, you have no law that comes close to this one. I mean, you have an exception maybe in Massachusetts where it says, you're not allowed to record a cop secretly. You know, you're not allowed to hide a recording in your pocket or whatever and then record them. But in all the other states, including California, you have to have an expectation of privacy for that charge to be lawful. And if you're recording a cop on the street, well, obviously there's no expectation of privacy. And, you know, and that's what we've had in Illinois. We have numerous people who get arrested. They get charged with felonies. They're facing several years in prison. They got to spend thousands and thousands of dollars on lawyers, and they're stressing out that they might go to prison. And the cases ultimately get dropped. But you know, this is after months and years of this hanging over their head. And Anita Alvarez, she's, you know, I don't know what her deal is. I mean, she must have some kind of connection with the police departments or something, because she's not seeing the law for what it is. You know, anybody with any legal sense can tell you, you know, there's no common sense in making this law where citizens cannot record cops in public, but they can record citizens whenever they want, and they do. And it doesn't work that way. I mean, it has to work both ways.
Yeah, that's the larger picture, especially since 9/11. They've told us they're going to film us everywhere. It's going to be a surveillance state to protect us. Maybe there could even be terrorists under some carpet or something. And so they're filming us everywhere we go, but if you film police officers, they're certainly aggressive to that. They've tried to intimidate many people. And Illinois is one of the harshest states, so it's good to see that Supreme Court decision where they're basically de facto respecting the fact that it probably is a violation of free speech and that, yes, you have a right to film police. There was the case of Michael Allison in 2011. He was essentially charged with life in prison, 5 counts of filming police, breaking this eavesdropping law, and it carries a maximum sentence of 15 years. So they were essentially trying to put him in prison for up to 75 years just for filming the police.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And these laws, they date back for way before people had video cameras or digital cell phones. And it just, you know, they're meant for people who are having conversations over the telephone, or, you know, you're having private conversations. You might have someone hiding a recording. And you know, and the cops have no expectation of privacy. These people are public servants. You know, they're out there and they should act professionally. And if they're acting professionally, they shouldn't worry if someone's recording them, you know, because that actually helps them out. You know, the video recordings or the digital recordings help them out and protects the cops as much as it does the citizens. Because then you can't have a citizen turn around and say, well, this cop was insulting toward me, he abused me. No, well, the video recording says the truth. So they should actually encourage that. But, you know, these cops probably have a lot to hide, and that's what the big issue is.
Well, the video is coming out on the bad cops, who I'm sure still do not outweigh the number of good cops. It's just the good cops don't end up on the internet. The stuff that goes viral is all the abuses, but then the police unions protect those cops, and it really kind of makes all cops look bad down the line.
Yeah, and to protect each other, not just the unions, but even the good cops. Well, they can't really raise an issue about this because then they get blacklisted within the department. It's pretty ironic that the good cops, the ones who do make a stand, I've seen this happen numerous times where they get blacklisted. They end up having to resign. They have to go to another police department. Well, you got these bad cops who have a long string of bad incidents and abusive behavior towards cops, and they're still there. They're still in the force, and it's really unbelievable. And I don't know how we can change that, but the first step in changing that is everybody has to carry a camera and not be afraid to use it and not be intimidated and not allow them to take your camera as evidence. And sometimes every once in a while you have to take the arrest like Daniel did over the weekend, you know, and like I've done before. And like this guy in Georgia did. Sometimes you have to take the arrest because what else are you going to do? I mean, because if you back down and you allow them to intimidate you, then they win and they win. And if we at least make an effort and make a stand, we will win in the long run. And every once in a while, we have to take the arrest, unfortunately.
Well, Carlos Miller, tell us about your case. I guess that was back in 2007 when you were arrested in Miami and you took him to court and you won the case, right?
Well, I've been arrested three times, and I was arrested in 2007 in Miami, and I beat that case. I was arrested again in 2009. I beat that case, and I was arrested again in 2012 of this year, well, January 2012, when I was covering the Occupy Miami eviction. And funny enough, I was arrested by a public information officer, and I was there as a journalist. I was covering the eviction. I had several cameras on me. I had two still cameras. I had a video camera. I had my headset. I had my light on. It was very obvious I was a journalist, and the public information officer did not like me because I was shooting the video from the angle of the protesters rather than being part of their embedded corporate media that was shooting it from within the police department, you know, being behind police lines and walking with them and just, and all that kind of stuff. You know, I was shooting it from the other side. I was making sure these cops were not abusing the activists. And I knew, you know, I didn't really see a whole lot of abuse. I saw a couple of arrests, but nothing really bad. But then the PIO, the public information officer, she did not like me because I had a little confrontation with her earlier in the evening where she was trying to block my shot of an activist getting arrested. They're dragging him into the paddy wagon, and I had my camera trained on this guy, and the PIO steps in front of me. I tell her, don't block my effing shot. And she took that very personal, and I didn't think anything of it. I didn't know who she was at the time. I just walked up. You know, kept doing my job, kept shooting. About 30, 40 minutes later, all the activists had been dispersed. I was walking down the street, and she had me arrested. And she says, well, we told you to disperse, and you didn't disperse. But meanwhile, all these other corporate journalists were there. No one was bothering them. They were free to be there, so there was no reason why I couldn't be there. And we went to court, and I was acquitted. The jury took about 35 minutes to acquit me. And we caught her lying on the stand, Major Nancy Perez. She's been on the force 27 years. She's moved up to a major. She's, you know, she's really, you know, moved up in the ranks, and she's really dedicated her whole life to this police department. But she turned out to be a liar. I mean, she's lied a couple of times on TV about me. You know, they were monitoring my Facebook page before my arrest, and basically monitoring what I was writing on Facebook, which is okay because it's public. But then they told her, the public information officer, that I would be there. They gave her a heads up, which they didn't do that to any of the other journalists. Mm-hmm. But she knew who I was. She had my picture. And then when she arrested me, she told my attorney in a deposition, this is before we found out that they were monitoring me, that she had no idea who I was. She said, oh, I thought he was an activist. So I arrested him. And then it turns out, well, she did know who I was. I mean, she got the email 11 hours before my arrest with my picture, and she didn't like that. And she had her eye on me the whole time, and she just wanted to prove a point. And we proved the point. You know, now, I mean, I won the case, and now I'm going to proceed with a civil lawsuit against her and against the police department.
Well, we know these police departments are spying, particularly on protesters, dissidents, everywhere, but I think it's a larger reaction of a system that's already been concentrated. We've already had the corporate and pretty much state-run media controlling things for decades, but now these cameras, the internet is turning things around, and it's become a real challenge to the status quo, whatever anyone's politics are. The idea of bringing a camera out in public to these protests, confronting public officials, getting their statements on camera, rather than the sound bites they put on the nightly news, the TV news. We're bringing real reports all across the country, all across the world, and that's really been a threat to them.
Well, yeah, well, you know, it's pretty funny how that worked out because, you know, in the late 90s, the corporate media just got so conglomerated and they were buying everything out. You know, all these, I used to work at the Arizona Republic, which was owned by Gannett, and Gannett owned the TV station in Phoenix, and then they ended up buying a few other newspapers and radio stations in the area. And it got to the point where we didn't have to do our job because we had no more competition. And they didn't care. They said, well, just write whatever, you know, rewrite a press release. You'll be happy. And so what happened, the internet, the bloggers and the citizen journalists, well, they filled that void. and it was really greatly needed. And now these corporate journalists, well, these corporate media, they're still trying to figure out, well, how come we're losing readers and viewers? Well, they're losing viewers and readers because they lost a lot of trust. And people, you know, they got smart and they realized, well, they can still read that, but they're not going to put a lot of credibility in that. Or they can find other sources that they can read and believe. And, you know, then you have several sources you can choose from. But you know, the citizen journalists are not going away. The independent journalists are not going away. And, you know, and the corporate media, well, they're out of danger of going away. They're struggling. They're the ones struggling.
Carlos Miller of Photography Is Not a Crime. Your closing comments, but also, what's the best way to get the message out to police, other law enforcement people, to just remind them we do have a right to film in public? That means we also have a right to film those police officers, whatever's going on at these scenes, and we don't need to be arrested, intimidated over this. And like you said, we're not going to stop doing this. It's just going to make them look bad when they try to enforce illegal laws on us.
Yeah, well, you know, the best thing to do is carry a camera, make sure you have your batteries charged. Make sure you hold the camera up high. You don't have to hide the camera. Hold it towards their face. I mean, don't stick it in their face, but just hold it so you're recording their face and ask them their name and ask them, what law am I breaking? You know, force them to cite a law or force them to, you know, to tell you what you're doing wrong. And don't stand on the street, stand on the sidewalk, because if you're standing on the street, then they're going to arrest you for that. You know, try not to break any other laws while you're recording them. Try to stand on the sidewalk and make sure and know the laws. But, and remain calm and professional. Don't yell and don't be profane. Allow them to do that. Because remember, you're getting it on camera. When you put this up on YouTube, you don't want a lot of people saying, well, yeah, you asked for it because you're being a douche. You know, you're doing, you know, remain calm and allow the cop to just make a fool of himself. And that's it. And we see that all the time. I mean, we saw it right now in the case in California. We saw it in the case in Georgia. The last 2 days I put these stories up. And it's like nonstop. I mean, to have several stories waiting that have not even been written yet that I have to get to.
Well, it's reaching a tipping point, and we appreciate your work at photographyisnotacrime.com. Congratulations on helping this story get out, helping them to drop the charges against Daniel Solomon in California. Hopefully they're quickly going to drop charges against these other recent cases because they happen every week, every month. It's been going on for a while.
Yes, sir.
And thanks very much for joining us.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And that is all for tonight's InfoWars Nightly News. I want to thank David Ortiz for doing the news segment. And you heard our guest, Carlos Miller. The best thing we can do in these times to fight back, to hold the system accountable, is, as a lover of liberty, to carry a camera around and simply document the tyranny that's going on, document the violations of the Constitution. But there's so many other ways to fight as well. One of them is PrisonPlanet.tv. Not only can you support this broadcast financially, but you can download a library of information. You could share it with up to 5 other friends and family members. Get them into the information. You can also use our social media network platform, planetinfowars.com. Create your profile. Fight the info war your way. Highlight the issues you think are most important. And now you can also get the print version of the InfoWars magazine, a physical glossy magazine for $59.95 per year. That's 12 issues. And I think they throw on bonus media as well. Put it in someone's hands and let them wake up to the truth through the colorful graphics, the awesome illustrations, and the powerful information we have. There's so much to offer at InfoWars.com. Spread the word and we can turn this thing around. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.